It's Father's Day. All praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the true Father. He has not abdicated his throne or his responsibility. He is still in control. So if you think that the world is out of control, in the natural sense, it is. When you look with spiritual eyes, he's in control. He knows what's up. He's spinning it on his finger. He knows what's happening. And so today, I want to talk a little bit about fathers and point out some things today. And I want you to leave today with an anticipation or an excitement that God has something for you. The best for you is yet to come in your life. I don't care if you didn't have a dad growing up. He can meet that need. I don't care if you felt like you didn't get what you didn't need to get. God can make up the difference. And so don't use that as an excuse as why you can't do what God has called you to do. The world is in need of men. Women, yes, but in need of men who are not going to be passive, but who are going to take the responsibility that God has given them and run with it, run with it. And so as we go into this today, we're going to see where it's going to go. Who knows what's going to come out of my mouth, Jesus' name today. But as it always does, let me just say this as a side note. If you're not ready to be dad or you're not ready to have responsibility, quit doing things that might put you in a position where you will become a dad. Don't play with fire and think you're going to get away with it, because eventually you're going to get caught. So if you're not ready to put away boyish things and tendencies, don't try to take on manhood when you're not ready. Just because the world says that you're ready, and just because you're at an age where you think that you can do certain things, it doesn't mean that you're intellectually ready or emotionally ready. You could do more damage to yourself by procreating or doing something before it's time as opposed to waiting. That's the reason why the Bible specifically says, do not wake up love before it's time. Do not wake up love before it's time. It does not mean that lust will not present itself. But don't wake up love before it's time, because God knows there's a timing. We have a lot of kids today who are fatherless or feel orphaned or abandoned because they liked the act of what it meant to have a kid, but neglected the responsibility once the kid got here. You're not a man because you just can have sex. You're not a man because you can procreate. You're a man if you stay, and you're a man if you take responsibility. So if you're not ready to take responsibility, don't say that you're a man. Just the way it is. Don't tell me you're 38 and you're playing Xbox all night. And you hold down a steady job. And you're ready for a family. And you're ready to take responsibility. But you can't take the headset off and spend time with the Lord or go get a job. Responsibility. It's key. Don't allow the world to tell you or to perpetuate this idea that you're a man if you can have anybody you want anytime you want. You can't. A true man knows where his security and his identity is, and as a side note, knows what his responsibility is. Once you find purpose, your eyes have a tendency to drift less. So if you can find purpose, you can find where God has called you to be, and you'll stop looking at things that are not beneficial to you. It's one of the reasons why pornography is a huge deal, is because people are looking at things that they don't have any business looking at because they're not challenged in who they are, number one, in their identity, and they lack purpose in their life. When you lack purpose, you open yourself up to things. So it says it like this in the Word, that if you lack vision, restraint is cast off. So if you don't have a vision for your life, that means you're unrestrained to do whatever you feel like you want to do whenever you want to do it. But the problem is with that is the trail that you leave behind you, and that you don't realize the damage that you do because you don't have a compass. So if you have a compass and you have a true north, then it will help you avoid going west and east when you don't need to. One of the things I appreciate about having directions is knowing where I'm going. Even if I don't know where I'm going, I can plug it in and Siri tells me in the Australian voice that it's set up to tell me in that it knows where I'm going. Okay? And so it tells you where I'm going, or whatever you wanted to do. Okay, pick your poison. So it tells you where I'm going. And so it's a blessing to know where you're going. You might say to yourself, I don't know where I'm going, but I know who Jesus is. So if you know who Jesus is, you have the compass. But if you're not following Jesus and you're conforming to the world, that you're going to have an issue finding out who you are and where God has placed you and where your real identity is. Don't be 45 and still wearing boy clothes. So we have a lot of people who want to grow up. And you know how it is growing up. People want responsibility, but they're not ready for responsibility. And we have an issue with men today. And so a few things about fathers. I praise all the fathers that are in here. Thank God for your strength. Continue to be one. Don't stop. Just because your kids might be older, you don't have to stop. Fatherhood is a journey. It takes a lifetime. There are different seasons that you're going to come in and out of, and that God is going to give you a privilege to speak into the lives of your sons and your daughters. Do it. Finish well. Leave a legacy that's behind you. And so the first thing I want to say today about a good father pursues. He pursues. One of the things I appreciate about Jesus is that when the Garden of Eden, and we know that whole scene in Genesis, is that when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden. Where are you? He didn't leave them to fend for themselves, but he pursued them in their greatest time of need because he knew what they needed, and it was him. It was him. He pursues so much so that he'll leave the 99 to find the one. He pursues so much so that look over your life, what he did to find you. He pursues so much to have a prodigal son or daughter wake up in a pig pen and realize that, you know, my father's servants have it better than I do. I'm going back home. A good father pursues the heart of their kids. Why do you think God is so interested in your heart? It's not that he doesn't care about your body, your physical body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit, but he wants your heart because he knows that if he has your heart, he's got you. The heart is a big issue. If God doesn't have our heart, he doesn't have us. And some people say this, well, everything is God's. Yes, but I want you to think about the times when there were areas of your heart that were on lockdown and that you were hiding from God and that what stopped your progress in him and you weren't able to receive all that God had for you because you were harboring unforgiveness, bitterness, or holding on to your own life. So if you want to lose your life to God, you're going to gain it. But if you want to hold on to your life, the Bible says you're going to lose it to yourself. And so you have to get to the point in yourself when you realize that God is pursuing me and he's going to pursue me at all costs. And this isn't a very difficult message today. It's not. But we got to understand and be reminded of who he is and what he does. He pursues. He's constantly pursuing you, almost to the point of irritating. Because he knows what you don't know. He knows that beyond the surface scratching that you do and the fleeting pleasure of what you think is going to give you some sort of fulfillment, that deep down inside, what you really want is him. And so he will allow you to grapple and grope for the things that you think you want, knowing that eventually you're going to turn back to him because he knows what's best for you. Because he wants your heart. He knows that when you say, I don't want to, that you really mean, yeah, I do want you, Lord. I just don't like the process of what it means to get there. Because there are too many things I have to die to in my life in order to raise you up as Lord and Savior. He pursues the heart. The heart. So, ladies, if you're thinking about relationships in here, and you're thinking about, I'm going to get into a relationship with a guy, look past the outer facade, look past what he's wearing and what he looks like, and look at the inner part of who he is in his heart. Some people can look flat out ugly, but they have a heart that makes them attractive. Okay, so we're not going to be honest in here. So a lot of the times what you do, and you know you do this, you look at people, it's like, that's okay, and you move on. But there's something about them that's attractive because of their heart. It's the heart that makes things attractive. It's the reason why the Bible says that beauty is temporal, it's fading. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There's something about having a relationship with God that opens up a new dynamic to you that you would not have thought that it was attractive before, but it becomes attractive because God's in it. When God's in it, it looks good. So don't make the mistake that when God sends someone into your life, just because they don't look like Saul or they look like someone else, that don't make the mistake that God can't do something in the midst of that just by the way that they look. God has some real treasure buried in people. And he's sending people into your life. And if you're not careful, you can miss out the treasure that God wants you to find. Everyone has a beauty in the beast side. Everyone's got it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you floated in here on air today, that you have, there's a beast side that you have that when it comes out, it's ugly. Okay. It's a beauty in the, and that's okay. That's what makes life beautiful. That's what makes the cross beautiful. You're not good all the time. You're not good all the time. You're not perfect all the time. But that's what makes the grace of Christ so magnificent, that it brings us into awareness of the goodness of God, and that he works in spite of us, and that he works with us in our mess. That's what makes the cross worth it, is that God said there was a need that I needed to fill and I needed to fix. So I'm going to die upon the cross and bring that back into relationship with me. And I'm going to take that mess and I'm going to make something beautiful at it, because that's who I am. I love the mess, he said. I love it. I'm attracted to it. So if you're in here today and you look at your life and say, there are things in my life that are out of control, God says, I love it. I love it. Don't make the mistake of thinking that God is some fair weather friend or who looks down at you and his only wants people who have it all together. There is no one who has it all together. But there is a grace that could get it together for you. And that's the goodness of God. And so you should be getting better. You should be looking better. You should be feeling better. It's the one thing about Christians that separates us apart from the world, is that God is working from the inside out. And so when God works from the inside out, everything gets better. Everything gets better. It's the reason why he says, I want you to be in good health and prosper even as your soul prospers. So that when my mind and my will and my emotions are prospering, guess what? I feel good. I am healthy. I feel good about myself. And other people may not be that way, but I am feeling good. And I'm not going to feel bad for being healthy or feeling healthy, because people will look down at you just because you have it together in one area and you are doing well. You don't have to lower your standard. You don't have to go down their road just because they're on the road that you may not be on, and that you're better. And it's okay to be okay. What I'm saying to you is that it's okay to be okay and not allow the enemy to bring in some sort of twisted ideology that when you have to bear one another's burdens, that means you become that person. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because all that does is create codependency and we create something that is unhealthy, and your view of Christ gets disfigured because you have to be like someone else. Far be it from me, far be it from you to have to change who you are and the work that God has done, all because you have a deficient mindset in your life and I have to cater to. That is a lie. That is a lie. Just because you're sick doesn't mean I have to be sick. Just because you have issues doesn't mean I have to have them in that area. And if we're not connected, cool. Just because there are things that are working for you and not working for me doesn't mean that God is any less or that he's any more. But his grace is sufficient and I could be okay. It's got to remind you about that stuff. Hey, listen, just because the world is the way it's supposed to be, you do not have to conform and be that way. You can walk with a little pep in your step. You can walk with confidence. Things may not all be together, but you have a joy in your life that far surpasses what's going on, and you're cool. You're cool. So the lie that you have to fight against is that just because everybody else is, you have to be. Wrong. He pursues the heart. If you're in a place in your life where the grace of God has been sufficient, God's sustaining you, praise God. I could look back over my life and say, I wish I didn't get COVID. I got it. God knew I was going to get it. He worked it all out, and he is working it all out. There are purposes of God that you don't know about. It's one of the dangers about living in this world right now, because you can look at the purpose of God and say, what is God's purpose right now? Because I don't get it. I don't understand it. You may not. But you have to understand it's deeper than you. And that in the midst of it, God will wake up your heart to the reality of who he is. Don't you think that God knew and understood what it was going to take for people to start to cry out to him again? Don't you think that God knows what it's going to take in order to speed up the end time harvest so that he can gather them in? Don't you think that God has a timetable and when he wants to wrap this thing up and say it's time to get out of here? And don't you think that God is waiting for that? That God is not just sitting up there biding his time and saying, let's give him another 1,000 years of suffering. This is awesome for me. Don't you think that God is just waiting? God said, we got some stuff to do, and so I'm pursuing hearts. And you know he is. He's been plucking you out of situations lately. He's been getting your attention lately. He's been healing up some stuff lately, changing your mind about some things lately, getting you in position lately, getting you ready to receive what he has for you lately, because they said, time's a ticking. I'm doing it faster. So I'm going to position you. He said, I pursued, now I'm going to position you. I love you, but now I'm going to put you where I want you to be so you can receive what I have for you. That means getting around people, yes, who are going to be part of your community, who are going to speak life into you, who are going to give you some of the tools that you need to grow, but also understanding that there are things that I want to place you in so that you can grow and be effective in those things. I want to position you. There's a reason why God plucked you out of some of your jobs. There's a reason why God plucked you out of some of your churches so that he can bring you to the place where you can finally grow up into all things in Jesus. Not some things, all things. If it was doing it for you, God said stay. But sometimes God says go because I want you to grow up into all things. The full measure of Christ. But that means I have to position you. And if you can handle the positioning, you'll get the promise. But if you don't like being inconvenienced, then you won't receive the promise. You'll always just about to be there, or you'll always feel like I'm just almost there, but you'll never get there. And the tipping point is because you never really stepped out to where God has called you to step out into because it was uncomfortable or it was the unknown. I'm telling you this, God will make it very uncomfortable for you. Very. If you are in a place you're not supposed to be. Position, 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 position. We put players on a field for a reason. They were in position. They do a job in that position. You are positioned and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. You are positioned there. Yes, but here on the earth, God said, I've got some things I need to position you in so that you're the door that I'm going to use to bless other people. There are going to be people that you're going to cross around and you're going to cross their paths and there's going to be a blessing that you're going to take from them. You're going to catch something from them that you would not have caught anywhere else because more is caught than taught. So it's a blessing to be around people that God has called you to do life with because you catch things. And it's also a blessing to be around people who God is sending you to because you catch things from them. Don't discount the people who God has put you around because there are things that they have and vice versa you have that they need. You're going to catch some stuff. You are not that good in yourself. If that were the case, one player could go against the whole army and take them out. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. There needs to be a team that goes against a team. Everyone has different responsibilities, gifts. To each one has given a measure of the Spirit of God. Connor, you love this stuff. And so all of a sudden, God gives different gifts in varying graces to different people. And we're all made up as the body. The head, the foot, the toe, the eye, everything. And so don't be upset if you're the eye. You want to be the foot. That's not your grace. Be the eye. Oh, help me, Lord. Don't do it, Lord. Don't do it. If you are created male and female, that's how we created you. There is no wavering in how he created it. So don't think that it's a mistake when God says, I created you specifically in that way because I have a purpose for you, and I'm going to position you in the earth as that, a male in this generation, a female in your generation. Not a they or hers or whatever. A feeling. Because God said it's an identity issue. It's an identity issue. I'm positioning you and I'm placing you in the earth today for a reason. I created them male and female for a reason. And that's how I want it to be, God said. There's no deviating from it. And so just because you have a day or where you think something different does not take away the truth of God's word from what it says. If you want to be blessed, then you will accept who you are. If you want to walk around in confusion, you will try to take who you are and try to be someone else. And you open yourself up to the attack and the device of the enemy. Once you do that and you start to try to figure out who you are not an animal. You are not something that God has not designed you to be. You are made in the image of Jesus Christ, fearfully and wonderfully made. And he made you that way. You are loved and accepted. Yes, you are loved and accepted. If you can get to that place where you identify as a son or daughter of God, it will help you take away and tear down all those other lies of who you think you are. You are not who they say you are. You are who God has said you are. There's no mistaking about it. We don't have to try to guess. There's no mistaking about it. Stop playing around with stuff you don't need to play around with. There is no deviation from God's word when it comes to that. There is none. But when you open yourself up to the possibility of it, you're in trouble. There's been a return, and there is coming a return back to the word of God. That's why there's such a fight over it, for you to realize the power of God's word. He made them male and female. Am I in trouble? Probably. So what? He already said it. It's coming. I'm about to release some stuff, and it's coming. And it's going to be on the backs of the truth of God's word. Not somewhere else. Not some thing you made up, or something you thought about, or something you're trying to conjugate, or you're trying to experiment on. God said, that is not how it works. It works if you follow the word. That's the standard. That's the boundary. That's where it is. Okay, good. That's where it's supposed to be. I will satisfy and be okay with the fact that I am a male and been given the grace to be a male. And you're uncomfortable right now, and I want you to be. But when we start talking about this stuff, it's what got him in trouble in the garden. A male not doing his job. For him just to take what was offered to him without remembering what the command of God was. But that's what people do today. But it's what they told me I should do. And so you do it. And your eyes are opened to sin. And to the tentacles of sin. And before you know it, one look becomes a habit. And then the habit becomes a shackle. And now you got something going on generationally, and you can't break it. Because now you're not just dealing with one. Now we're dealing with legion now. Oh, but you know, that's just play stuff. Is it though? Is it? Is it play stuff when you even yourself have realized when you open a door to something in your life, what it takes to grab you? And just if you're not strong enough to shut it. We got a lot of people being grabbed right now. They're being grabbed. They got doors open. They're being grabbed. And now they walk around not knowing who they are. Walking around with things on them, coming off their back. Everything's different about them. And like, what happened to that person? Whole demeanor changing. Because why? They opened their door up, and now they're being influenced spiritually. And they have opened the door up to something they don't have any knowledge about. They just feel like, man, I just feel like something's got me. It does. And if you can't shake that, you will walk around perpetuating that in your life and everything you come in contact with. God was so good that he not only pursued, he not only protects, but he positions. He was so good, he said, listen, guys, I love you, but you can't stay in the garden anymore because there has to be a consequence. So now I'm putting you outside the garden, and just if you try to get back in, I'm going to put a big angel up there. You're not getting back in here. I'm going to make some clothes for you so you don't feel naked, but now life's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But I'm going to still protect you. Because I love you. It's a hard lesson. I love you. I know you did that when you shouldn't have did it. But I'm going to protect you because I still have an ultimate plan for you. Okay, if anybody tells you that what they've had to go through as a result of their sin has not been hard, they're lying to you. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you said. I don't care how you did it. God might have saved you, and God might have protected you, but what it took to get you to the place you are now, would you want to go back through it again? That's a no. Because you realize the goodness of God and what he's taken you from. I'll protect you. God said, I got something for you. I'm going to protect you. Now, if you're in the will of God and you know where you're supposed to be, it doesn't mean there's not going to be issue or danger. That's not the word of God. But I'll protect you in the midst of it. Serving God comes with risk. You're going to risk stuff. You're going to risk being jeered at. It's cool. You're going to risk being rejected. Yes, you're going to. That's all that stuff's going to happen. But that's the nature of the business you're in. Okay, that's the business. So if you don't like the business, change the business. Go somewhere else. Well, I'm going to tell you that this business offers what you need. This business, what he's done, he pursues you. He protects you. He positions you. All that. It has what you need. We talked about it. It's all in him. It's a matter of whether or not you can stay in it long enough to be able to receive all that stuff. Because a lot of people, once it gets hot, they're looking for something to cool them off. I was talking to someone just out here before service, and I was joking around. I said, next week, I'm going to take all the chairs out, and we're all going to come here and just worship, and the whole service is going to be 2 hours. We're just going to stand up and do it. And because you do it at concerts, 2-3 hours, ah, I love him, he's so good. Shirts off, smoking weed, everything, having the concert, having a great time. He's so good. Tattoos all over the face. You know you're not supposed to be there, but it's cool, having a good time. Man, this is so good, opening your spirit up, and then come to church on Sunday, man. My God, whew. 3 songs of worship. I'll never get used to this. My heart is yours. Man, I got to sit down for a minute. This is tough. It's tough. It's tough because it's convicting. Because you're worshiping God, but in your heart, you're like, he's not one. He's not one. Had a great time. Our friends doing that. It was awesome. Awesome. Broke curfew. Stayed up all night. Oh, it was awesome. Came to church on Sunday. Trying to hide it. Trying to do everything else. Sat in the back. Man, it was a great day of service, but I got to go. I got to go. Why? You know why. I love God, but I can't give him 30 minutes. Can't do it. Why? Because of the overwhelming sense that he's not where he should be in my life. And once your conscience is pricked, it's hard to stay doing what you're doing if you know it's not God asking you to keep doing what you're doing. How do I know that? Not only have I been there, but I've also read Paul and what happened. There's a Bible book, Paul? No, there's not a Bible book named Paul. I also read what was happening with, because some of you will be like later, where is that? I can't find that. Sharon, where's Paul? Thank you. Of where he had an encounter with Christ, and that encounter was so revolutionary that it changed his life. Because he said, hey man, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to go against in your conscience what you know is wrong, what you're doing anyway. You're struggling with it, and you're doing it, and you know it's not my best for you. And so not only did God have to knock him literally off his horse and blind him for a period of time to get him to the place of where he could position him to use him. And that's what God will do with you if you're not where you need to be. You will go through a season where you can't see, and God will allow you to go blind and go dark so that he can get you to the place of where he can start to use you in your life, being positioned. The club is not good anymore, okay? It's not good. You did that. Now it's time to come out of that and be a part of what I'm asking you to do. Haven't you had enough when I was a child moments? Men, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I behaved like a child. I did childish things, but when I became a man, I put it away. I can't do the things I used to do anymore. Well, why? Well, a couple reasons why. Number one, I'm in my 40s, which to me is nothing. Number two, I'm a husband and I'm a dad now. So there are things that I don't do anymore because they're boyish. They're boyish. I don't take other women home with me because I already have one. A boy would do that. I don't go and do the things that I want to do all the time because I'm married and I've made a decision to be married to one person. I don't do the things that I want to do all the time because I also have kids. And that I spend time with my kids when I have the time to spend time with my kids, just chilling out and watching them grow. There are certain things that I do and there's certain things that I don't do. But boy would say, this is not for me. It don't feel good all the time. And where is it supposed to feel good all the time? Because what you do then is then you elevate pleasure over purpose. Instead of, like we said, purpose over pleasure. If my relationship with God is one, you know darn well that pleasure is not going to be the thing that's going to happen in my life all the time. It's going to be purpose. That means there's going to be responsibility I'm going to ask you to do, and you're not going to like it, but that's your purpose. Do it. And in that, I'm blessed. But when I go outside of that and I seek pleasure aside from purpose, I'm not blessed. Come on now. If you can't stay with who God has brought you to be in relationship with, how's God going to trust you with anything else? If God brings something into your life and says, this is what I have for you, work it, that's where you're going to be blessed. If I would look at my kids, let's be honest with here, and I would say, you know what? I don't like those two kids. I want some other kids because I don't like the way who they are. Having other kids in my life are not going to replace the fact that God has called me to raise these kids. So just because those kids are not the way you want them to be now doesn't give you the license to try to figure out how you're going to get new kids to replace these kids, because all that's going to do is perpetuate problems, and you're going to have to raise all, and God's going to make you go back and still raise these kids. We got people, you want to replace stuff all the time. Well, I don't like my wife, so I'm going to get another one. So what that means is that you're going to have the same problems with the next one because you're running away from the responsibility of this one. Or you probably shouldn't have married this one in the first place because you had a check, but you did it anyway. This is who I'm supposed to be with. This is my responsibility. Pursues, positions, he protects. I know we're talking a lot about relationships and marriage today, but it's key as men. The marriage bed is undefiled. It's good with my wife. It's not good if I allow other things into it that are going to defile that bed. In the name of, well, I want to see what else is out there. You are then robbing yourself of the pleasure that God has called you to be in with one man and one woman. If you want the blessing of God, you're going to do it God's way. If you want the curse of God and you want all sorts of issues to happen and doors to be opened into your life, guess what? Do it that way. It's up to you. Blessing or cursing? I'm going to take this road. Next thing is, a good father knows how to push. Push. Listen, you're struggling now, I'm going to push you. No, what do you think about that? Instead of me telling you all the time what to think, what do you think? Talk through it. So instead of just thinking about it this way, I want you to think about it from this perspective, okay, Mia? Think about it from, oh, you know what? Okay, I see it from that. You're right. How many times, oh, you're right, Dad. Mm-hmm. Because she is, and they are growing up into all things. They're not there yet. But I'm pushing them. When they don't want to do something necessarily, guess what? I'm going to do it. Because I want to see how you're going to be. If you're not tested, and you're not prodded, and you're not pushed, how do you know what you're capable of and what you're made of? If you're always coddled to, and you're always given something, and you don't have to work for it, what are we creating? A dependent state. No, I want you to know what that, I want you to save your money there. You do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. It might be a struggle, but do it. Because every time you do it, you get better. My daughter right now, Lexi, we're about to close in a few minutes. She's in cheerleading and she's taken off in cheerleading, man. She's got Sarlo jeans, that's what they say. I don't know. Okay, so and so she's doing all the stuff, and she just got her back flip. So she's doing a back flip. Just learn how to do it. Back flip. She would fall down. She would, on her back, she'd hurt herself, get back up, and we'd tell her to do it again, and she'd do it again. But the one thing, when she got it, guess what she wanted to do from that moment on? I'm just doing, Dad, come spot me. Get the mat out, back flip. Backflip. Ask Missy. When we watch TV, she is not stationary. She is on her hoverboard walking around. She'll take the mat out. Guess what? Doing backflips. Doing back tucks. Just doing it. Because there's something now inside of her that says, guess what? I can do it. And now there's no fear in that anymore because I did it. And that's what God does with you. When you get past something, now you're saying, okay, what's next? What else can I do? If I did that, I'm going to do something else. What else, God? What else have you graced me to do? All right, try this, and God allows you to experiment because you're able to see what he can do within your limits of who you are. And all of a sudden, God works with you. And now you're doing cartwheels and backflips. Now, oh, guess what? Now you're losing weight, feeling good about yourself. You never thought you could. But now you're walking around like, I fit in the four again. I fit in the size four. Doing all this stuff. Deal a meal, Weight Watchers, whatever it is. On it. Doing all that stuff. Now you're feeling good about yourself. What else can I do? Right? It's now, oh my gosh. I don't crave that anymore emotionally. Lord, what else do you have? I don't lean back and there's an excitement because of what he took you through. And it's amazing. It opened your eyes because now you see what healthy is. That's healthy. I don't want that. And anytime anything remotely close comes up to what was, shut it down. Sorry, can't do it that way. Don't even talk about it. Because you're in a healthy place. Those of you that God has broken out of timidity, you can't go back to fear. How are you going to do that? You're up here singing worship. You're beating cancer, insecurity, coming from your lifestyle, doing everything you got to do. How are you going to go backwards and be like, I can't do this no more? It was a good season. I'm going to be a spectator now. That's not how God does it. He pushes you now deeper. Get better. How can I get better? What can I do? How can I fine-tune, God, what you've given me and what you delivered me from and to? How do I do it? Pushes. I appreciate Sean, my brother-in-law. Always pushing. Always saying, hey, listen, what else can you do? Always pushing himself. Why? Because God has put limitless potential inside of you because of who he is. Limitless potential in the body that he has created in you and graced you to walk around with. There are things inside of you that God says, I want to bring out and I want you, the world, to be able to see limitless stuff. But allow me to tap into you. If you connect with me, I'll show you things that you never thought were there that have been hidden. But God wants to get it out, but you got to get out of the way and allow God to help you with it. You got to try some stuff. You got to not be afraid of failing. You got to not be afraid of what ifs. Listen, that what if is a phrase that will kill potential. The next time that comes in, it might. Anytime you hear that, what if? You know what? It might happen. But you know what? Regardless. I'm doing it. I'm doing it anyway. You might get divorced. Regardless, I'm getting married. If you let all the what ifs, you stop the possibility of what can be. What can be? I'm just jumping out. It's difficult. It's hard. I might have to struggle, but I'm doing it because I'm not going to be shackled and I'm not going to be restrained just because your view of what you look at success is different from my view. And if you tried it and failed, doesn't mean that I'm going to try it and fail. But, and the difference is going to be that you might have stayed down, but guess what? I'm getting back up. I'm doing it again until I get it. And God, you beat it. The problem is that you haven't beaten it yet. I know some of y'all may not follow basketball in here. That's okay. Last night, me and Missy were watching Game 7, the Bucks and the Nets. Bucks have lost to the Nets last 2 years in the semis. Last night, they beat them. They're moving on now to the conference finals. For them, the possibility of what if is no more. They've already beat who's beaten them. Now they're moving on to the next opponent. For you, same thing. The possibility of what if can be no longer an issue for you once you've beaten what's been beating you. But you might have to work your butt off in order to beat it so that finally you can look at it and say, I've already vested that and beaten that. I'm moving on to the next thing. That's what's exciting about the cross. That's what's exciting about Christ is that he allows you to get in there and beat that thing so that you can move on to the next thing. And you can look back holding it up as a trophy and say, yeah, no longer. No longer. To the next thing and the next set of challenges. last thing a good father does is praise. When we finally get to heaven, the goal is for you to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Not, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's not a joke. And I pray that that is the thing that aligns you. The possibility of that being, "Well done, yes." And the possibility of hearing, "Depart from me," scares you into alignment. I mean, just, I'm going to go through all this, Sharon. I'm going to go through all this. And then miss it. Because I prophesied in his name. I healed the sick. Demons were cast out. But my heart wasn't really where God wanted me to be. And for him to say, "Depart from me." That's why the show doesn't matter. The show is a byproduct of what's going on in the heart. You can shut it down. But as long as the heart is connected where it needs to be, fruit will bear. The show is for y'all. Because we come together and we do the whole church thing and everyone wants to praise God. And it's important that we do so. But when it's all said and done, guess who's going home with you? Jesus. So I can't let the show be the defining moment of my relationship with Christ. I can't have this be the thing that elevates me and all of a sudden I don't have a relationship with Christ and I'm not connected. I got to connect and this becomes a byproduct of it. And if things change or seasons change, it doesn't matter. He remains the same. He remains the same. He's going to pursue me. He's going to position me. He's going to protect me. He's going to push me. And he's going to praise me even in the things that I overcome in this life, not in heaven. You know how it is with God when you get things done right and you feel the approval of God. And that's something that supersedes anything else. And when anybody else has to say, we're like, "You're right. I am. Thank you, Lord. I am good." And that helps tear down the lie of what everybody else thinks. When you're pleased with him and God's pleased with you, everybody's standing at their feet. I remember a couple months ago, I was riding a car. I think it was, I don't know where I was, and I just felt the pleasure of God. Like, "Good job, son. Like, you did what I asked you to do. Good." And that brings you to a new place with God. So that when you have to speak truth, the reaction doesn't bother you. Because God's pleased. So going a little bit deeper, he already is pleased because of the blood of Christ. He already is pleased. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He already is pleased. But there is conviction that comes. And so when you do what God has asked you to do, there's a pleasure that God takes in that. God doesn't look at it lightly. Because there's blessing in that. Here's the approval process. Have you done what God has asked you to do? That's the approval process. He already has approved you because of what his son did, but he continues to do that because of what you do when it comes to obedience. I don't have to fill out a bunch of forms. I don't have to rework my salvation. I don't have to do it 25 times. But am I doing what God has asked me to do? If I'm doing what God has asked me to do, guess what? There's blessing. God's pleased. If I'm not, you'll feel it. But don't mistake being uncomfortable for being out of God's will. That's something that you have to wrestle with. Just because it's uncomfortable and it's hard doesn't mean that God does not want you to do it. Look at the Bible. Look. There's a difference in I'm walking in a course of sin and God is tapping on me and saying, it's time to lay that down, as opposed to, Lord, this is hard. I'm going to need your strength to step out on this. Correct? And you know the difference. You should. Lord, for every person in this room, Lord, I thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Lord, just the gift of fatherhood. We thank you for the gift that you gave us. I thank you for being a good father in our life. For the times when we didn't want it, you pursued us. Thank you for taking us out of where we were, placing us and positioning us in your family. We're in your family today. No other family we'd rather be in. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for protecting us even from ourselves. Everybody in here who knows, you ought to be thanking God for the times that he protected you from you and what you were about to do to yourself and even what you did. And God said, I'm going to stop the repercussions of that. Thank you, God, for protecting us from our own minds, protecting us from the things that we do to deprive ourselves of your love and your grace. Thank you for getting us out of the way, Lord, and bringing us face to face with the reality of your truth. The truth does not change. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you are who you say you are. And Lord, let you push us. Thank you for pushing us past our own limitations of what we can do so that we can see the precious jewels that are inside each one of us. Thank you, God, for helping us to stretch and the struggle so that we can become more like you. Every person in here, God, who's in that position in their life, Lord, where they feel like they're being stretched, thank you, God, for that. I pray that you give them the grace to continue to do that. Continue to do that as they wait upon you, as they twist, as they turn. Help them to continue to strengthen themselves in you so that they can handle the load of what you're bringing into their life. Thank you for the times of not knowing what to do. You're there. Thank you, God, for the times of stepping out and battling in the Spirit because we know that you're there. God, thank you for the times that we tore down strongholds and that we cast down imaginations and that we saw you, every high thing that was exalted as we tore it down, and you were elevated. We saw you above it all. Thank you for giving us eyes of faith to see above what we can see in the natural, and to know that what you are working in the supernatural will eventually be manifested here in the natural, and that we will see signs and wonders, and that sons and daughters will prophesy, and that there will be dreams, there will be visions, and that people will be raised from the dead, that there will be healing, that there will be boldness that will come back into your church, that people will declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. And as we return back to your goodness and the foundation of your word, that you will build your church on it. Continue to do that. And the gates of hell will continually not prevail against it because you are a sure foundation. Thank you, God, for bringing us back to a sure foundation, helping us to stand on a sure foundation, giving people their voices back, healing people so they can speak of the truth of who you are and what they've experienced and what you've done in their life. For everyone that's drifted, I thank you for bringing them back into a place of where they need to be, back into your family. For everyone dealing with issues even in their mind, I thank you for soundness of mind, breaking down strongholds, God, issues and ideologies that are not of you. I thank you, God, that you will begin to speak truth and truth will set them free. Hearts will be changed. Lives will be transformed because of the truth of your word, and that we will see a great outpouring of your Spirit because you said that in the last days you're going to do it. And we thank you, God, for getting us ready for it in Jesus' name. Amen.